Please do be seated. I went to Sandhurst Military Academy yesterday for the first visit that I'd ever made to that place, and was there for a passing out parade. And our eldest son, Tim, has now begun his service in the reserves. And as we stood there in the stands, we were sheltered from the heat, but of course the sun was beating down on the parade ground, and the cadets stood there in their uniform, getting very hot indeed. I didn't see anybody collapse like that, but there was one person who suffered in the sun, and they were sent off and marched away quickly, and the medics came round and kind of revived him before he crashed over completely. But earlier that morning, we'd been gathered together in the chapel. We'd been in the Sandhurst Chapel together, very full with the cadets, with family, with friends. And the padre gave the sermon, of course. And in that sermon, he talked about the motto of the British Army, that you serve to lead. Clearly, they're there to be leaders, but the way to lead is primarily to serve, to have the interests of the soldiers you command at your interest, and of course the good of others as well. And I love this reading that we've just heard from Mark's Gospel, because Jesus there centre stage is a leader. He's a leader of the 12. He's the leader of all those who come flocking to him to receive his ministry. He's basically the leader of all who follow, all who see within the Lord Jesus Christ somebody excellent, somebody wonderful, somebody vibrant, somebody powerful, somebody filled with the Spirit of God who would do miracles. You know, what a man to follow. But that motto that we heard from the padre, serve to lead, surely that is clearly in Jesus' ministry. He said of himself that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in this story, we pick it up as Jesus is busy preaching and teaching. His disciples have come back from their little mission where he'd sent them off earlier. And they came back and said, Jesus, it's amazing. We have preached and people have heard. We've healed. We've cast out demons. And they were buzzy, of course, as you might be. But also they brought news of John the Baptist, that Herod had had him beheaded. So Jesus, there he is, exercising this ministry, leading the crowds, leading his people, is now receiving the news of a bereavement of cousin John. He's tired, as you would be, ministering for days, hours out with the crowds. And when he sees his disciples coming, he says, let's take a break. Let's go for some rest and recuperation. And so they get in a boat and they cross over the sea to find a deserted place. But the crowd work all this out. They know where Jesus is going, so they nip round the side on the shore and they welcome Jesus as he gets out of the boat. So the only rest they really get is just on the voyage, probably not very long, and not very restful if they were rowing anyway. But Jesus then sees the crowds who have come to him with their needs. And I just love this verse in the Bible. It says, Jesus was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. That word compassion, it speaks of a gut reaction to the human need that Jesus saw. It's the same word that Jesus used in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was moved with compassion. So he did something about the need in front of him. And Jesus is moved with compassion when he sees the crowds coming. He's the one who's tired. He has to look after his disciples, and yet this crowd is so needy. We're told that they were harassed. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus, moved with compassion, does something about it, and he serves them. He serves them. He doesn't say, I'm sorry, my schedule doesn't permit. He meets their need there and then. There's a well-known quote, well, I come across it from time to time in a little book called A Serious Call to a Devout and a Holy Life by a William Law. And he says this about service, about when we look out and see the needs of others. He says this, Condescend to all the weaknesses and infirmities of your fellow creatures. Cover their frailties. Love their excellences. Encourage their virtues. Relieve their wants. Rejoice in their prosperities. Compassionate their distress. Receive their friendship. Overlook their unkindnesses. Forgive their malice. Be a servant of servants and condescend to do the lowest offices for the lowest of mankind. And so when Jesus was moved with compassion, perhaps feeling the effects of the news of the bereavement of John, the effects of being tired from ministering all day, he sets that aside. He's moved with compassion and he starts to teach the people. That was point one. I'd like to make a second point, that Jesus is off schedule here. So the first point is that he was moved with compassion, and the second is that he has planned to go away with the disciples to rest. But in the flexibility of grace, he says, no, we'll change our plans. Things didn't turn out as Jesus had planned, so he does this extra ministry. And the outcome, although we didn't hear it, the middle section of our reading could have been the feeding of the thousands in the wilderness, as Jesus does a miracle of divine provision. And so because Jesus was free just to rise to the occasion and meet the needs of the crowds, the outcome of that was this miracle of the feeding of the thousands in the wilderness, giving a perspective perhaps on Jesus as in the Moses way, in leading the people and seeing the crowds fed. Maybe it spoke of the manna. Maybe it speaks of the Last Supper. But Jesus provided the food. What a miracle. When we get called upon from time to time, sometimes at random, it's not always easy to set aside programs and schedules. We tend to live by diaries, and every minute seems to count. But sometimes we're called just to rise, respond impromptu to the needs, to the situations. And one of the things that Bishop Tim's been talking about lately has been responding to the common good, or seeking the common good. And so, as is his way, he's always handing out books to clergy. Do you have this one? You have this one. And it's a very interesting idea. It's not new, of course. And responding to the common good is saying, well, we as the people of God, in the blessings that we have through Jesus, called to be the people of God, how can we respond and give something to the crowds around? Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed. And I wonder what, in our situation today, makes people have a sense of being shepherdless when they don't know the answers, when they don't know to whom they might go for help. How do the people of God respond? What can we do just like that to say, this is what we want to do? It's helpful sometimes, of course, to think these things through and put them together in something called a P-map, which you might have been talking about. But it's just a reflection on a parish mission action plan, a P-map. Thinking about, well, all of our churches have been asked to produce one from the autumn onwards. And thinking about how we as the people of God, where we are, can respond to others, seeking the common good, seeking the blessing of God coming amongst them, in any and every way, under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then my third point. The first was the compassion of Christ. The second is the flexibility of grace. And the third is the teaching of Jesus. Because when he saw their need, he started to teach them. And I thought, why would Jesus want to teach the crowds? And firstly, I think it's in response to their need. They would have come with many questions. Who are you? What are you doing? What are you saying? What do you tell us about our hope as being the people of God, Israel? Is God going to fulfill the promises that we have through the prophets, and yet the Romans are ruling over our land? What is it that you have from God? Clearly you do miracles and you're teaching us with authority. Tell us, Jesus. Tell us more. What is our place in all of this? And Jesus began to teach. He fed their hearts. He fed their minds. He met their hungers, and as we know, it ended with him meeting their physical need as well. If the crowds come to us today, I wonder what questions they have, what they would like to hear answers to. We've had a few events in the benefice where I am, where we've had a speaker who's addressed big questions such as, what about suffering? It seems to be a major objection. If God is good and all-powerful, then why have we still got suffering? Another question we might ask, or perhaps this crowd asked Jesus, why do bad things happen to good people? Why did John the Baptist lose his head? He was a good man. Why is there martyrdom? Why is there suffering? So perhaps Jesus sat there and explained and went through scripture and explained. And I wonder what we can explain today. I wonder where we would go for our resources as well. One of the joys of being in parish with a church school is that I have access to the children to lead their collective worship once a week. And children's Bibles, beautifully coloured, if you were to flick through, we'd recognise these big stories. But do they stand alone? Is there a theme? Is there history? What's God doing? Can we see a pattern? Is there a narrative going through? Well, the answer is yes. In the 66 books of the Bible, we find that God has there's a beginning to creation, there is an end in the future, and along the way, wonderful things have happened as God chose Abraham and others and formed a nation of Israel and gave them the law. And then we know that Jesus came, and through him all of this starts to make sense, and we see a purpose for God in the world. One of the writers I like or do enjoy is Bishop Tom Wright, and his book here, Surprised by Scripture, aims to show that the Bible as a whole is a grand narrative, the big story of God in creation through time, through that people of Israel, through his son Jesus Christ, through the gospel then spreading through time and through the world into this country and still going around with acts of power, with the work of the Holy Spirit to show God is at work. There is a story. And when we hear that, the works of God, our stories start to make sense within it. And when we come, and perhaps like the people without the shepherd, harassed, asking the big questions, we locate ourselves into the story of God. And in our Ephesians 2 reading, we heard that God is bringing together all things in Christ. He's broken down the barriers between Jew and Gentile. He's bringing his people together. There is a future, and it's God's future. He is in charge. And just lastly, the Bible Society, if you Google Bible Society and you look at their Bible course, it's an excellent course, 8 sessions, and it aims to just give an overview of the whole of the Bible. It's brilliantly narrated, it's very accessible, and there's a 1-minute introduction to it where they have a large sculpture in a studio, which is like a great big wooden banister that goes down and up and round. And the books of the Bible locate in stages. And it's very helpful to see that actually it all holds together to tell us the story of God, his plans for his world, his people, to enter his future. And so I wonder where we are caught up in this. We think about the compassion of Jesus, reaching out to us, reaching to others. We think about the impromptu movement of grace, responding to others in their need at whatever time and in circumstances. We think about Jesus teaching and giving the whole picture. And we fit ourselves into those things. And maybe we're asking, God, what are you calling us to do and to be? To reach your world, the story of God continues more than a story, of course. The lived experience of the church, the touch of the Holy Spirit on his people, people receiving hope, healing, freedom through the ministry of Christ. And so may God bless us today as we hear of the compassion of Christ, his response to need, and how through scriptures and the Spirit, he will lead us and bless us today. Amen.